Good morning, church. I'm Pastor Andrew, obviously, and I'd like to welcome all of us to Sunday service. Those of us joining in the service online as well, welcome. It's so good to continue together, continue to worship God together. Today, as Pastor Singh mentioned, is Pentecost. It is the day where we remember and we celebrate the pouring of the Holy Spirit out on the church, out into us. And of course, in line with our X series, the Lord has serendipitously arranged it. Our text today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If you have your Bibles, you can turn them. You can turn to them with me. Not turn them with me. But if you do not, you can just hear me as I read the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So when I read the text of Acts 2, 1 to 4 just now, I think as I was preparing, right, I always leap past the first verse, right, and they were gathered together in one accord in one room. I always leap into I want to see the fire, right? I want to hear the sound. I want to see them rush out. But an interesting question, right? Where were they? Where were they gathered in one accord? Was it in a big Honda car? No, right? I'm sorry, I just had to keep saying this. That silly joke. No, they were gathered in the upper room, right? Why gathered in the upper room? Okay, in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus actually said, "Go and tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and endues you with power." So, of course, this upper room is in Jerusalem and they were in Jerusalem, but why in the room? Right? Why not in the temple? Why not near where Jesus was crucified or near where they first saw Jesus resurrected? Actually, they were where they first saw Jesus resurrected, but they were in the room. And in this room, actually in John chapter 20, verse 29, it says they locked the doors. You know why? Because they were afraid. It actually says in John, they were afraid of the Jews. And Jesus had to appear suddenly in their midst and say, "Peace be with you," right? And they were in the same room. 120 of them, no safe distancing, no mask, field day, right? They were in the same room, crammed together, must have been very sweaty, must have been very hot, not comfortable. They were praying. They were praying, and they were in fear. And they had good reason to fear. They had three big reasons to fear. First of all, they were expecting to be persecuted. Jesus was crucified. He hung on the cross. And do you know who hangs on the cross? Enemies of the state. And in Rome, back in the first century, you don't want to be an enemy of the state. Right? Why? Because if you're an enemy of the state, typically what happens is that, okay, I kill you, but you have family, right? And your family love you, right? Okay. They have to do away with them too. Wow, you got disciples also. We just have to build more crosses, right? And actually, they did, right? Later on in history. We just have to build more crosses and kill the disciples as well, and maybe their families also. This was a common practice. In Rome, actually, all over the ancient world. So, typically, first, one of the biggest threats to them was their lives were in peril. Second, they certainly did not have many resources, right? Being persecuted like that, having to run away from those chasing after and arresting Jesus, even some of them ran away naked, right? So if you run away naked, then you really don't have things on you, you know? And this was the state of the disciples. Their lives were being threatened. They had no resources. But worst of all, perhaps, the worst situation they found themselves in was they had no resurrected Jesus with them. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus had already ascended, right? He gave them the command to go into Jerusalem and tarry. He gave them the mission of God to preach the gospel in all the world. And then he left, right? All of the other problems, right, that they had, that caused them to fear, their lives in peril, no resources, all of this could be overlooked if you had the risen Jesus. If you got no money, ask Jesus to go and preach. The moment he appeared there with his shiny clothes and his resurrected hands and side, he says, put your finger in my hand. Wow, people would just give all their money to Jesus, right? In peril, their lives in peril. If you see Jesus resurrected there, who would dare touch the disciples? Who would dare touch Jesus? God would strike them down immediately. But at this point, the resurrected Jesus had risen into heaven, and the disciples were totally bereft of comfort, of power, and of authority. And this is the significance of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They were gathered in one accord in the upper room, yes, and they were gathered in fear. But of course, something quite miraculous happened, right? And I read this earlier, chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. Wow, we read of the Holy Spirit. A great sound fills the room, and then tongues of fire appear over their head, and then they are given even more. They are given utterance to speak out, but probably the gospel, right, in their very midst. But it doesn't. But there's a bit of a skip here in the narrative, right? After chapter 5, it says in chapter 6, oh, and there were gathered very many devout men in Jerusalem. And then in chapter 7 and 8, then you suddenly see the devout men actually say, how are we hearing the glory of God being preached to us by these men in our own languages? And there were 14 different ethnicities, like Medes, Egyptians, Romans. Can you imagine? Maybe Paul was speaking in Latin. Maybe he doesn't even know proper Hebrew, right? And suddenly he's able to speak in Latin, and they are hearing it. How are they hearing it? Was it that the disciples were still in the upper room shouting very loudly, maybe shouting down at people? That doesn't seem to be the case. What happened to this fearful bunch that suddenly and most likely caused them to break out of their safe huddle up there in the upper room, stuffy as it may be, at least nobody's killing you. Break out. They reveal themselves, you know. It's like if somebody's, I thought of Mas Selamat, but, you know, imagine Mas Selamat appear at ISD, hi, you know, that's not what people who fear for their lives do. These people, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the power of God. They were filled with the presence of God. And this is what happened. This is what the Holy Spirit did to them. You know, in verse 3, the tongues of fire, we often associate that with speaking in tongues, you know, speaking in dialects of angels. But here on Pentecost, those tongues of fire were the visible, manifest presence of God with them. True, the body of Christ, the literal physical body of Christ, wasn't with them. But when those flames appeared and they saw, they suddenly realized something. Perhaps the same fire that their hearts caught when Jesus spoke suddenly filled their heart. The presence of Jesus appeared in that room, even without him there, because the Spirit of Christ was now in their midst. Oh, remember what I said? With Christ, maybe the rest of the things can be overlooked. And that's what happened. The power of God filled that room. The miracle of God, the sound, the flame, it inspired the disciples. to say, what fear? Let us have faith. And in that faith, they were emboldened and they ran out into a Jerusalem that had 50 days ago just crucified Jesus Christ and was probably looking to crucify them as well. They ran out into Jerusalem and started, well, expressing their bona fides, right? They started saying, start preaching Jesus, started preaching the wonders of God. And this boldness to proclaim, the ability to speak and to preach Jesus, even in the midst of their circumstance, these three things were what the Spirit did for them. Gave them the assurance of the presence of Jesus. Gave them the boldness to break out. And gave them the wisdom. Gave them the authority to preach the gospel. This is the operation of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just visible. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm a disciple, so I feel that way. It wasn't that. Why? Because even the others, even those adversaries out there, and there were adversaries, because in Acts chapter 2, 13, it actually said when they came out and they started preaching Jesus, some of the people who witnessed them preaching to them actually said, oh, these men are filled with new wine. They are filled with sweet wine at 9 a.m. in the morning. Some of us might relate. But then, no, anyway, right? They were mocking them. And of course, the Jews still wanted to kill them. But the Holy Spirit was with them. And it was evident, even to those people who were mocking, making fun of them, who were seeking to kill them, it was evident to them. Why? Because in chapter 2, 37, they said, after hearing Peter preach to them, after hearing the sermon of Pentecost, what is, they were cut. The scripture says they were cut to the heart. And they said, brothers, men, what must we do? What must we do to receive what you have? To receive your bonus, to receive your power? They could see it. And of course, Peter's answer was in Acts chapter 2, 38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That was back then in Pentecost. Today, we live in the presence of the Holy Spirit here. We live in the community of the Holy Spirit, amen? The miracles of God still happen. I mean, just think about it. During Resurrection Weekend, Pastor Daniel prayed for a lady who was brain dead. And she came back to life by the power of God alone. The Word of God is still being preached. Even in the days of COVID, people going out, giving out meals and preaching to the migrant workers, the work of God is still being done and is still being powered by the Holy Spirit. This is the power of God. This is the Holy Spirit in us, for us, and of course, to preach the gospel in this world. Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? I know I do, right? And also for those of us who maybe are not Christian yet and who want this bonus, want this power, want this gospel in your life, or if you're not baptized, yeah, if you're feeling guilty, that's you. If you want the Holy Spirit, then like Peter said, repent and be baptized. So, that is the promise of God, right? And it is true. Let God be true and all men be liars, that all who believe, repent, and are baptized will receive the Holy Spirit. And we see this in none other than, of course, Acts 2, the protagonist of Acts going up to probably chapter 7, St. Peter. We see that personal conversion of Peter's heart. We kind of know his resume, right? Likes to talk a lot. True, he walked on water, but guess what? He also sank in water, right? I mean, for all the good that Peter did, right, pretty much the bad was quite outstanding, lah. Right? He denied Christ, and he quit and went back to fishing after Jesus died. This man, if you look at his resume, does that sound like a brave man to you? Does it sound like a man of faith or a man of fear? So what happened to this fearful man? What happened to turn him into a man in Acts who will, if put in jail, preach to the jailer? If put in front of the high council, his life on the line, will say, hey, I got a good idea. All of you should turn to Christ. Right? What would change this man from full of fear to full of faith? And I put it to you, there is actually this passage. The Holy Spirit, Acts 2, verses 2 to 5. So filled his heart with the conviction, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit, so converted him that he, instead of being crushed under his circumstance, decided that his adversity, those people around him seeking to kill him, those people mocking the disciples on Pentecost Day, that they were simply an opportunity for the gospel, an opportunity for the enemies of God to come back to the kingdom. And it was this work in Peter, this conversion of his heart. God didn't take away his circumstance. God didn't suddenly cease the persecution, cease their poverty. He didn't do that all of a sudden. What he did was he simply converted the heart of Peter. And all his circumstance became a reason, became the purpose of the gospel, and preached the gospel he did. This, of course, when I talk about Peter, St. Peter's no longer with us, right? St. Peter was martyred by, actually, the Caesar after the one that was in charge during Pentecost. He was murdered by Nero. He's no longer around. But the Holy Spirit is still around today. The Holy Spirit wants you, wants me, wants each one of us to be the Peters of today. Are you fearful of your circumstance? Do you fear for your livelihood? Do you fear that COVID will overrun you? Or maybe nothing to do with COVID, your relationships will break down because of what you have done. Are you a man of fear? The Holy Spirit can make you a man or woman of faith. He can. The Holy Spirit wills to make you the Peter of today. So how can we, who have already repented, we who have already been baptized, this is the promise of God to us. So, I ask you this question today. Will you claim that promise? Will you decide that your circumstances will not rule your life, but instead, God will rule your heart? Because if you do decide that today, God is willing to convert your heart and through you, change your circumstances into the gospel. If you are willing, then of course, the Lord will do three things for you, just as he did for the disciples. First of all, no matter how far you feel you are from God, no matter how distant or how sinful you feel you are, the Holy Spirit will give you the presence of Jesus Christ in your heart, just as he did to the disciples when they were bereft of the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for you today. All one need to do, look at your sin and repent. Be converted to Jesus Christ. Accept and receive the Holy Spirit. Two, we receive the Holy Spirit by being bold. It's not that we are bold, It is that we wait for the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Lord to give us the Holy Spirit, that we may become bold, that we may have wisdom, not just to, you know, find a smart way out of our circumstance, you know. Oh, maybe I borrow from that guy to solve my money problem here, then I refinance my loan over here. No, no, no. Stop. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for boldness to believe on Him, that He will make a way out for you. And of course, when He does give you, when He does give you that wisdom to preach the gospel where you are, into your circumstance and through your circumstance, then finally, as He gives you the utterance, as He gives you the gospel, then perform it in your life. Is it somebody that you need to forgive? Is it somebody you need to reconcile with? Then take the power of the Holy Spirit that He wants to give you. Obey. Because in obeying, in the preaching of the gospel through your word and your work, as the Holy Spirit gives you, you will overcome your circumstances. And so, this is the power of the Holy Spirit given to us at Pentecost. This is the promise that Jesus promised to the church that changed the heart of St. Peter, that changed the hearts of the fearful men, 120 of them in the upper room. This Holy Spirit today, Pentecost Day, wants to change your heart. He wants to make you His proclaiming church in this world. He wants to make you St. Peter today. Right? Maybe not exactly St. Peter, but you get what I mean. And if this is your desire, if your desire is to say, Lord, convert my heart, then follow me as I lead us in this prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray a few things, and I want you to just have that personal conversation with God. Ask Him for His presence. Ask Him for courage and boldness. Finally, ask Him for power. Power to obey and become the gospel. So let us pray. Father, You have promised us such a wonderful and great gift in the gift of Yourself, in the gift of Your presence, the Holy Spirit. Father, would You send the Holy Spirit into our hearts right now? Let us know the closeness, the sweet communion of Jesus Christ. Not only a comforter, not only a friend, but the risen Christ, the Christ who conquered death. Give us His presence, Lord, right now. Now I want you to think of a situation in your life. A situation where it seems hopeless. Where it seems like all that comes up from it is fear and dread. I want you to pray to God. Ask Him to give you boldness and courage. Not to shrink away, but to bring the presence of Christ into that situation. Whether it's employment status, whether it's your fear or uncertainty of the future, whatever it is, ask God to give you courage to bring His presence in. Finally, the Holy Spirit converts our hearts so that we can change our circumstances, so that we can convert our circumstances into the gospel. But obedience is difficult. The work is hard. Pray to God now and ask Him for the power to do what is necessary, the power to obey, the power to preach the gospel in that circumstance. Ask this of God now, for it is His will, it is His mission given to you. Do this right now. Finally, I want you to repeat this after me. As our affirmation to God, I want you to say this. Father, all that you have said, I will do. Let's say it together. Father, all that you have commanded and said to me, I will do. Say it again. Father, all that you have commanded and said to me, I will do. Father, all that you have commanded us and said to us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the will of God, this Pentecost for you, for me, for all His children. To grab onto the power of God in the Holy Spirit so that the gospel may flourish despite our circumstances in our lives and in this world. So before we leave, let me pray for us the benediction. Father, we thank you. You are a good, good God. You are a God of power and might who through us, your unworthy children, your servants have decided, has elected to change the world, to turn circumstances upside down. So Lord, we pray, through your Son Jesus Christ, in the power of your Holy Spirit, send us out that we may work, live, and preach your gospel in this world for your glory alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, everybody. That's the end of the service. It is Pentecost. Be filled with the Spirit. Preach the gospel. Have a good week.